And I know this is also
Yeah,
a little.
kein Problem. Es ist okay. Es ist von Sie. Es ist okay. Kein Problem.
It's important to point out that we are talking about those who live in a sin. We may run into brothers and sisters who have made a mistake and are repentant and want to return to the fellowship with the Lord and in the church life. This is not talking about those kinds of saints. We're talking about saints who are habitually in fornication, habitually in reviling, habitually in drunkenness, habitually in gross sins, refusing to repent, right? One says, because of the danger of fornication, we need to keep ourselves at a proper distance from the opposite sex. It's really good that our brother, in this juncture, talks about this, that we need to keep ourselves from fornication. Especially in today's age where fornication is so acceptable, right? We need to keep ourselves at a proper distance because of fornication. The young people ask a lot of questions about proper separation and, what is spiritual and what is not spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about this. It's all about protection. It's not a standard. It's so that we stay far away from fornication. Two says we need to realize that we still have our fallen nature. For this reason, we advise the saints not to be in a room alone with a member of the opposite sex who is not their spouse, especially if the door is closed and the room has no windows. In fact, I know that some saints even apply this to driving together. They would not drive together with someone of the opposite sex alone. In fact, I follow their pattern. I haven't done that because of this fallen nature. Okay. Three, for the Lord's name, for the church's testimony, for our protection, and for the honor of our physical body. For the Lord's name, for the church's testimony, for our protection, and for the honor of our physical body. We must keep ourselves at a proper distance from the opposite sex. This is to heed Paul's warning that no fornicator would have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Brothers, may we heed this warning, and especially because we are all here to serve the Lord. And it is not only a shameful thing, but a regrettable thing when brothers get entangled with fornication, and it will put an end to our usefulness to the Lord. Amen. D says, for the sake of preserving the oneness of the body, we must turn away from those who are dissenting, who make divisions, and who make causes of stumbling contrary to the apostles' teaching. Amen. Romans 16, 17 says that we should mark out those who cause divisions and separate from them. And Titus 3:10 says a factious man, right, after a few admonitions, refuse. What does this mean? This doesn't mean, again, excommunicate, but it does mean we need to separate them for a while. We hope that they will repent and return to the fellowship without making divisions, right? And this is to preserve the oneness of the body. And this is why this problem is not something that the church can tolerate, because to tolerate it will cause the church to be in division. E says those who are heretical, who go beyond the teaching of Christ, who deny the divine conception and deity of Christ, as today's modernists do, must be rejected by us, not being received into our house nor greeted by us. This is actually what John says. Our brother is very bold, right? He says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not say to him, rejoice. Don't even tell him, have a good day. Our brother Ron Kanga says, you should tell him, have a bad day. Why? Because, again, this is regarding the word on idolatry. It will affect our organic relationship with the person into whom we believe. Okay, Roman numeral 3 says, in the church life, we receive all Christians, but we cannot accept the divisions in which they meet. Now, before I go on, I just appreciate this view again. We are special about the faith. We are general about different ways of practicing our faith, or any kind of doctrinal views. But in the word, there is always balance. It's easy for us to be unbalanced. We can be extreme in being special, or we can be extreme in being general. And these three matters that the church cannot tolerate became a strong balance to us. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 3. In the church life, we receive all Christians, but we cannot accept the divisions in which they meet. And I know, growing up in the Lord's recovery, many years I didn't understand the distinction, but there's a strong distinction here. A says the denominations are not just differences, they are divisions. Hence, we cannot accept them, right? So to be a believer in a denomination doesn't change the fact that you're a believer and that you should be received as all believers should be received. But I can't join your denomination because your denomination is a division. So to receive you is one thing, but to join your denomination is another thing. B says we differentiate, however, between the saints and the denominations. The denominations are one thing, but the saints in the denominations are another thing. I definitely have seen and heard, when we are not clear about this distinction, we could make mistakes in receiving of saint of believers, and unknowingly become factious men. C says, we receive the saints who are in any of the denominations and also those in the Catholic Church, but we cannot receive the organization of the denominations. So there have been many critics of Brother Lee's ministry and his sharing on the ground of locality, because they feel, right, because you are speaking against denominations, therefore, you are against me as a believer. That is not true. Brother Lee is ne has never been against any genuine believer. But we are against the divisions of the church, which all denominations are. We cannot receive the ministries that build up the de denominations or invite those in the denominations to speak to us and thereby cause damage to the Lord's recovery, right? I think this point is very clear. E says, we surely love our brothers in Christ, but they are in the denominations and the sects where we cannot be. It is not that we separate ourselves from other believers, It is that the sects and denominations separate us from the church life. So for me to go and participate in a sect and participate in the denomination, I have to leave the church life. F is actually very enlightening. If we are to share in the recovery of the church, we need to be separated from all the sects and denominations. Like Ezra, Nehemiah, and other faithful ones in the Old Testament, we need to leave Babylon and come back to Jerusalem. And so suppose that you have some relatives who didn't come back to Jerusalem with you, and you are in Jerusalem, and they came back to Jerusalem from Babylon for a family vacation to visit you. Are you going to say, well, because you're still living in Babylon, you're not a Jew? No, you are a Jew and you're still my family, and we receive one another. But I'm not going back to Babylon with you, because if I go back to Babylon with you, I have to leave Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the Lord's recovery. And so this is our stand. But on the other hand, we receive all genuine believers in the Lord. Amen. I'll give it to Brother Ken.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We just, Billy, thank you so much. That was so helpful. That presentation, the fellowship, was so helpful. And I just thank the Lord, that we're able to be in these trainings. This eldership training, the Lord is doing something in such a special way to raise up brothers to take the churches on in the next level. And we want to spread the churches, but this training is so crucial. So brothers, we really need to be those that are giving our whole being to this training and consecrate ourselves to it. And I just thank the Lord that we have this opportunity. I can't say enough about the importance of this training and going on in this training and giving ourselves practically on one hand to be being coming on Saturdays to have the fellowship and at the same time coming together personally to study, having your own study and also having your own personal time with the Lord and also fellowship and coordinating with the brothers in this small group. So we have really three ways to carry on this training. One is the Saturdays, this fellowship. Two, it's the personal study. And three, it's coming together personally at least one time a week or a couple times a month to study these lessons corporately. So the Lord could bring us into the reality of all these matters. And this, we have the most crucial job in the universe. No other career, no other employment is as crucial as this one is. So I just thank the Lord that we have this particular opportunity. And the Lord is using it. Now, concerning what we're studying, what we're fellowshipping this morning, you have these two matters. On one hand, we have the we have to be so general to receive all the believers, yet specific concerning particular matters that the Lord does not allow in the churches. And it takes the cross to be able to do both. We have to deny the natural man, take the cross, so we're able to one hand receive believers. And I'm going to try to read maybe a few portions, cover a few portions of the outline again. I just want to read one and A. In the church life, we must be general regarding matters other than the unique faith. We must receive all the believers according to God's receiving. Receive all the believers according to God's receiving. In the church life, we have only one thing that is specific or special. That's the faith. the object of our believing, which we call our Christian faith, which is composed of the beliefs concerning the Bible, God, Christ, the work of Christ, salvation, and the church. When Billy read these, he said, this feels so good. Say those items, and it is. It's so encouraging just to read those items. Those are the items that we believe. Those are the items that we fellowship around. And those are the items we fellowship with other Christians about. We meet other Christians we should be able to fellowship about Christ, about God, about the Bible, about salvation. We need to be able to fellowship with the brothers, other brothers and sisters about these matters. But at the same time, Paul was very specific in certain areas, and I will get to those. But one thing, I just want to share an experience about with Brother Lee. He was so general, and yet at the same time you realize he was so specific. But he was so but concerning. We in 1971 we invited him to St. Louis to speak with us in a conference. And in that conference, in the back of the room, at one point, someone spoke in tongues. And it was very loud, very discernible that this is what was happening. And it just had a hollow feel to it. You know, you didn't sense the reality. I've been with Christians where they have the real thing. They have the real speaking in tongues, the real interpretation. This particular, I'll call her a sister, I assume she was a sister. Her speaking in tongues was not, you get a sense, it didn't have the peace, didn't have the life to it. And just so happened, the next morning, I was able to have a conversation with Brother Lee about this one-on-one. And just the fact that this was not real, but there's a place for this. No one stood up and shut her down. But the meeting just kind of went on. But the point is, Brother Lee was general about this, and he was able to fellowship about it. And it's a matter that we need to be general. If someone comes into our meeting and speaks that way, amen. And if someone has a burden to interpret or has a sense for what they say, then they can interpret it. I've not seen this happen in any of our meetings, but you never know. Now, the other side of this, real quick. I was in a meeting about 25 years ago, and a sister, I know she was a sister, stood up and recommended the Book of Mormon. And what do? Right away, I said, sister, sit down. I just had the sense, sister, I just had to, I had to do that right away, because there were young people there, others were there. I just said, sit down. And then we just went on. So sometimes you have to be quick to sense, Lord, how do I react to this? And other times you have to be general. And I'll give some examples of how Brother Lee was one point said, before we would go to the point of setting someone aside or not communicating, but setting them aside, the situation has to become manifest. So if someone is, and I'll get in more into that later, but that's the principle. Especially if it's one with the church, has to become manifest very clearly. So okay, now another thing I want to read here. This was very striking to me. So on page 364, under the topic, neglect of Romans 14. Today, many Christians are talking about the body in Romans 12, but nearly all of them have neglected Romans 14. Without Romans 14, we can never have the body life. Most who are talking about the body life do not have it. They have only division. Today, the Lord's recovery is mainly of the oneness, mainly of the oneness. If we're going to have the oneness, we have to become so general. Now get this. When a brother who is a Seventh-day Adventist comes and insists on keeping the seventh day, we should say to him, brother, if you like to keep the Sabbath, you do it. If we have time, we will come to be with you. We have no problem with you, and we have no argument. That is a broad heart. Okay, if we have time, we will come with you. But you go ahead and the issue would be is if he would insist. Now you all have to practice the seventh day. Then that becomes a division, has the potential to become a division. So we're general. We allow, we don't insist. This is the attitude, the spirit taken by Paul in Romans 14. This does not mean that Paul was not clear about the teaching of the Sabbath. He was very clear, but he did not insist. We are clearly told by him in Colossians that the Sabbath is a shadow of Christ who was to come. The Sabbath was a shadow. Now that the body has come, the shadow's over. But however, in Romans 14, Paul still tolerated it. So we need to learn to be general in this way. General, when others come into our midst, they don't have to be like us. Now, here's another very interesting portion. Okay, this is on differences between churches. Appreciated the way Billy shared this matter because the churches need to follow the churches. Now, on page 366, there may be differences not only among believers in the local church, but also between local churches themselves. For example, the church in one locality may practice prayer reading, but the church in another locality may not practice it. If you visit a church that differs in practice from the church in your locality, do not try to correct it or try to change anything. Wherever you are, you should simply be one with the church in that place. As long as it is a local church, you need to go along with it without imposing or opposing. I admit that it's not easy to, that it is easy to talk about this, but it is difficult to practice it. Nevertheless, we must all be willing to learn this lesson. Then we will not only have the doctrine of the body in Romans 12, but also the practice of the body life. So again, this really needs to be, we need to be in spirit on the cross. You be on the cross by the spirit to live this type of life that's broad, but yet when necessary, specific in certain areas. You know, we touched on some of the areas, particularly the matter of idol worship, idolatry, fornication. These things need to be refused. And the matter of our fallen nature, point C2, we'll look at that. We need to realize we still have our fallen nature. For this reason, we advise the saints not to be in a room alone with a member of the opposite sex, who is not their spouse, especially if the door is closed and the room has no window. You know, this is something that's not unique to us. But Billy Graham was something really, someone who really practiced this. There was a time they wanted him, this was during the time of Bill Clinton's presidency, that they wanted Billy Graham to meet with Hillary Clinton in a room alone. He says, "I won't do it." Now, this is someone who is strong with his principles. I will not meet in a room alone with another woman. And that was his stand at that point. I can't remember exactly what the end result was, but he was very firm. I will not meet alone with her. So again, we need to be those who are clear in our spirit, clear in the word, clear the direction the Lord has taken the churches, and those who love the Lord to the uttermost. Yet at the same time, those who are general, because the Lord is general. The Lord is general. The word is general. Romans 14 is very, very clear that it's general. But yeah, there are all these couple of places where ones are set aside or quarantined for a period of time. And like I mentioned earlier, and I think I just may take a minute to touch on this, the word brotherly used is it needs to become manifest. And I was in a situation in the Midwest that was going in that direction. And eventually it went too far. And we just had to say, okay, we cannot. I was in Chicago, and this was going on in Cleveland. Eventually, we had to say, we cannot follow this. We cannot do this, because I'll mention this specific issue. One night, it was New Year's Eve. There's a lot of young people meeting in a meeting, and they said, put all your dreams in a basket, and we'll put them in this walk outside. And so they put all the dreams, and now the dream could be, I want to be a great wrestler, could have been, I want to be a good country western singer. It didn't have to be a spiritual dream, just any type of dream you want, and we'll put it in this walk. And then we'll have someone come out, and here's what they said. We'll have so-and-so come out and light the fire to the cauldron. Now, that word cauldron, if you know its origins, it said shivers up your spine. It's related to witchcraft and all other kinds of stuff. They use the word cauldron. And when I saw this, that really caused me to realize there's something really wrong going on here. And at that point, that's when we said, we're not going to follow this group anymore. We have to separate. We cannot follow someone that's going to recommend things like this. So, but that's when things become manifest. This situation eventually became manifest. And so, as a result, the brother that was leading that whole area eventually was quarantined by all the churches. And so this incident was part of why Chicago was able to be one with all the churches and in quarantining this brother. Now, one other area I want to cover here is page 362-3. This is sometimes hard for our young people to understand. We should receive all the Christians, but we cannot receive the divisions in which they meet. And because they have separated themselves from us. And if you really take the time, we really don't have the time to get into it now. But the Lord's idea of the ground of oneness, that's how we meet. We meet on the ground of oneness. And we receive all Christians. That's the key thing, is anyone can come to meet with us, and they do not have to believe like us. They don't have to act like us. They can believe however they want to. Well, careful. Within the realm of the Christian faith, they can believe whatever, practice how they want to. We receive them, but we don't receive the ministry, and we don't invite other ministries to speak, because that causes trouble. And here's the big issue is this. Our young people may say, well, they're getting help over there. They may get some personal help. Yes, they get personal help. But they don't get help to see God's economy. They don't get help to see building up of the body. They don't get help to see that the end result is the New Jerusalem. No place else on earth are these matters fellowshipped. So they may get some personal help to love the Lord. They do. But they don't get help to build the church. They don't get help for the church to be the expression of Christ. And it's the same thing. When they say, why do we only read the books of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee? Well, actually, when I first came into the church life, there was very little books. So I read stuff from Austin Sparks, Jesse Penn Lewis, others, because that's what was available. And of course, what little of Brother Lee was available was very little, and some of Watchman Nee. But as the Lord's ministry went on, the personal life supply of all these other previous servants of the Lord was included. But the thing, these other, they say, why don't we read some of the other books? I will just say this. These other books don't have the matter of God's economy, and they don't see the matter build up of the body of Christ. They don't see the end goal. All these other books help you to be an individual Christian. One of the most read books, Rick Warren, in 40 days of prayer, or 40 days of something or other. It just Nothing of the building up of the body of Christ there. Yet many Christians followed that book. So my concern, my the thing we need to help our young people see, all these other books they're useful for helping us have a personal walk with the Lord, but they miss the end goal. They're just building up individuals. We're for building up the body of Christ. We're those who want to build up the body of Christ, deny the self, and have the Lord expression among us. So if we're meeting together, so our job, our goal, what we need to be is we need to be the expression of the Christ, the oneness. We need to be the when ones come among us, they need to see Psalm 133 in action. The oneness of the brothers, the anointment, the anointing, they need to taste the life and see the anointing and see the grace and see the oneness among many different believers. They need to see the expression. And when they see the expression, they'll want it. They'll want to be a part of it. But we don't recommend the other books because they're going to build up an individual walk. All the other books build up an individual walk. The books from the ministry, today's ministry, which is really the apostles' teaching, builds up the body of Christ, builds up the New Jerusalem, builds up the body, prepares us for the Lord's return. That's why we focus on the books of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, because they include all the personal matters. They include the personal help, but also the end goal. So our students need to see, our young people need to see the end goal. We're here for the end goal. We love all the believers. They're all able to come with us. We take care of them. We love them. But we cannot receive these other ministries because they just divide. And time's out. But just thank the Lord for the speaking that the Lord is speaking to us these days. We need to be those on one hand who are general when need be specific. When someone stands up and says something really negative in a meeting, we have to be bold to say sit down. But that's rare. That's very, very rare, very rare. But it did happen to me. But we need to love the Lord, take care of our spirit, love the saints, love the brothers, love the churches. Well, the churches love one another. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Okay, I'll stop here.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ken and Brother Billy. Brothers, I really worship my Lord that we brothers can have this opportunity to sit down together and watch and receive this heavenly vision together. So therefore, this enlightening and practical word can really help our church life. Like Brother Ken mentioned, that it will uplift our church life to a different, to another level. I'm very touched that a few weeks ago, that's in one of the morning revival messages, it talked about that when we want to get a genuine one ground of oneness, there's a key element is that we need to pass through the altar, which is to apply the cross of Christ to us. And many times I myself feel I'm in the church life practice, sometimes I'm not that general. If someone speak too long, or if someone pick up a different hymns, that I don't think that is that fit the atmosphere at that time. And then, but also many times I'm also too weak that to stand against the potential practices which may cause fornication or division. And I realize that it's because in my natural man, I tend to be nice that's with others, but on the other hand, I insist my ownernesses in me. And I feel today's message is very helpful that we do really need to stand for the Lord's interest in order to get Brother Ken like saying the end. So that's it for the building of the body. And therefore, we need to pass through the altar that that our natural good or our natural preference be terminated. Brothers, now we open for the overflow. I'd like to remind you, even though We are general, even though you don't prophesy, we'll still receive you in this training, but we'll say this is a training. Overflow is a part of the training. So now, please raise up your hands and then let's say what we receive from the Lord and this message. Amen. The brothers in Stuttgart. Amen.
Brothers, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I really appreciate this message. It gives us a very clear view of what we should receive and what we should not. And it's very clear that when someone teaching heresy, blasphemy, the person of Christ, this is damaging the Godhead, right? And when someone create division, it damage the body. And when someone is habitually living in sinful condition and non-repentance, that's damaging themselves and also potentially spread this defilement to the whole church. But I appreciate the overall principle is generality,
Amen.
and which is Brother Ken pointed out rightly. It really requires to take a cross. Many times, even among ourselves, among the brothers, among the saints, many times we become too strict because of our background, because of our opinion, because of our, wherever church life culture. And that co cause problem, right? And then when new ones come up among us, of course, we have a different pair of eyeglass and looking at them in a different way. And it really requires to be in our spirit and really processed by the Lord in our natural man. So I appreciate this speaking is so clear, give us a clear view of what we need to receive, but what we cannot receive.
Amen. Brother Tassilo.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brothers, I really appreciate this fellowship, also the testimonies, because it really shows that there are so many instances and experiences where we, could just rely on our own preference. I don't know, some saints went to the Leipzig Book Fair or to the mayor in Augsburg, and there are so many believers. And you could just offend everyone by being particular for your own ways. But the time we had with these believers was very sweet because we were just so general. They like the Luther Bible, and we say, "Great, Luther, great, amen. I'm really happy you're reading the Bible." Or but what was really so sweet about our time was we were just one in our speaking, and what we ministered was just life. It wasn't a particular doctrine. It wasn't, brother, if you want to meet with us, you need to be baptized by sprinkling or by immersion. It wasn't anything like that. It was just dispensing Christ and life and speaking maybe about our own experiences. And that was so attractive. And that is attractive. That attracted me to the church life. It wasn't any kind of doctrine or thing. I would have probably rejected that and said, "Sorry, no way." But being specific in the way of that's damaging to the oneness and damaging to our own bodies is so healthy and so so healthy for the oneness of the church life. Also, with regards to the sects and the factions, it was really helpful. And I think maybe I didn't really get it all. I'll just have to read it again, but it was so good to just hear these healthy words.
Amen. Amen. Brother Paul.
I appreciate in the brothers speaking this highlighting of this phrase that we must be general regarding matters other than the unique faith. So the faith is our standard, the faith is our criteria for receiving the other believers according to God's receiving.
Amen.
But then, as we saw in the speaking, it's very possible for us to be in a situation, as it's shown in 1 Corinthians, where on some occasions we have to do this, on other occasions we have to do that. What's the criteria? And I appreciated when Brother Minoru released this message some years ago, he brought out this matter of the Spirit. We have to be those who are passing through the cross, living by the Spirit. This is not an outward criteria that says, okay, with these brothers, I do it this way. With these brothers, we do it that way. But mm-hmm. through our growth in life, through our exercising to be one spirit with the Lord, as the living one, will give us the sensation how to be. And this is what we saw constantly with Paul. And I appreciate the brothers' examples of Brother Lee, that according to his practice and according to his walk with the Lord, he was able, and we see a way for us to live and serve the churches in this way.
Amen. Amen. The Gemeinde in Frankfurt.
Yeah, I also appreciate about this session giving me a clear vision of the who can we accept and what we cannot accept in our church life in the body, and what things we have to definitely separate from the denomination. I have also sometimes I fellowship with my neighbor who is the believer, and then sometimes I was not so clear the how I can fellowship with this neighbor is the in the denomination, but I was really happy for this session. So who has the clear Christian belief, we can have a fellowship with them, and then and also that we have to be cautious to who has the strong or strict in the denomination. Someone can bring this kind of the concept. Yeah, sometimes when I meet the European local people, they have a strong background of the Catholic churches. So yeah, sometimes they talking about the baptism and also about the belief, about the Bible. Yeah, this is something, it is not matching with our Christian belief, we cannot accept, and also we have to be cautious. So yeah, this kind of when we think about the matter of the body, so to keeping the oneness of body, so we have to have a clear boundary about the so this is the beneficial of the keeping the oneness of body, or this is the can damage our the body. So yeah, I appreciate this message, the giving the clear vision about it.
Amen.
I also appreciate this fellowship regarding the generality in receiving the saints, and also things that we cannot or we shouldn't tolerate. But both are very difficult, right? When we see the saints who have a different view of practice, it touches us. It touches our natural being. And also, when we face the problem, which or things or person we shouldn't accept, what we should not tolerate, would it be nice? It's hard. Both are hard in practice. But I appreciate what our brother said. That's why we need to pick up the cross and apply. Because that's a lesson. So I really appreciate this fellowship.
Amen. Amen. So now we will have our break until 10:35. We'll be back and continue at 10:35. Thank you, brothers. yourself into us.
Amen. Dispense yourself into us, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we open to your word.
Amen.
We'd like to be those sitting at your feet.
Amen.
Lord, listening to your word.
Right.
Lord, opening your heart to us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, the Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. We
Amen.
Can be trained. Amen.
Amen.
Continue to train us.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Continue to perfect us.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We love you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Yes. Yes. Oh, we love your speaking, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Lord, anointed our ears again.
Amen. Yes.
Oh, we just want to come to you.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Give us a timely word.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Yes. Oh, Lord, we do love you.
Amen.
Amen.
You.
Amen.
We want
yes.
to contact and gain you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Amen. So, brothers, let's start with singing the hymn. Amen. Could a serving brother please share the PowerPoint?
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Let's continue reading the scripture. Amen. Romans 16, 17-18. Amen. The scripture reading, please. Amen. Thank you. Romans 16, 17 through 18. Now I exhort you, brothers, to mark those who make divisions and causes of stumbling contrary to the teaching which you have learned and turn away from them. For such men do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own stomach, and through smooth word and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Titus 3, 10 through 11. A factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse. 11. Knowing that such a one is perverted and is sinning, lo, he is condemned by his own self. 2 John 7. For many deceivers went out into the world, those who do not confess Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Verse 8 through 9. Look to yourselves that you do not lose the sins which we rule, but that you may receive a full reward. 9. Everyone who goes beyond and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. 10 through 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not say to him, rejoice. For he who says to him, rejoice, shares in his evil works. 1 Corinthians 5, 2. And you are puffed up, and have you not rather mourned that the one who has done this deed might be removed from your midst? 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10. I wrote to you in my letter not to mingle with fornicators, but not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the converters and rapacious or idolaters. Since then, you would have to get out of the world. 11 through 12. But now I have written to you not to mingle with anyone who is called a brother if he is a fornicator or a covetous man or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a rapacious man with such a one not even to eat. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside the church? Do you not judge those who are within the church? 13. But those who are outside, God will judge. Remove the evil man from among yourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 through 6. But if anyone has caused sorrow, he has not caused me to sorrow, but in part, lest I lay too heavy a burden all of you. 6. Sufficient for such a one in this punishment by the majority. 7 through 9, so that, on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with excessive sorrow. Therefore, I exhort you to confirm your love toward him. For to this end also I wrote, that I may know your approvedness, whether you are obedient in all things. 10 through 11, but whom you forgive any sin, I also forgive. For also what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, it is for your sake in the person of Christ. 11, that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Leviticus 13, 45 through 46. And as for the leper in whom the infection is, his clothes should be torn, and the hair of his head shall be let loose, and he shall cover his uplift and cry, unclean, unclean. And he shall be unclean all the days during which the infection is in him. He is unclean. He should live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Amen. In this section, Brother Cody will cover the outline. Brother Winston will share the burden. We hand over to Brother Cody. Amen.
So brothers, with these two lessons, 61 and 62, we're touching something that's extremely serious.
Amen.
Why? Because it has to do with the oneness of the body of Christ. How can the Lord gain his rich expression on the earth without a body that expresses him in oneness? And in chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, Paul was very liberal and gracious, just reading from the footnote in 16, Romans 16. He was gracious regarding the receiving of those who differ in doctrine or practice. Here, however, this is in Romans 16, where we just read to mark those who make divisions. Here, however, he is unyielding and resolute in saying that we must turn away from those who are dissenting, who make divisions, and who make causes of stumbling. The purpose, and this I treasure this very much, the purpose in both cases is the preserving of the oneness of the body of Christ that we may have the normal church life. And both of these chapters, chapter 14 and chapter 16, I feel really touch our natural being. We know from our own experience, isn't it the case, brothers, when we should be broad, wide, general, receiving, because of small matters, we're so narrow.
Amen.
And then we ourselves may have a divisive or a factious kind of spirit. So, how we need to be touched by the cross, I enjoyed, many brothers shared that, touched by the cross so that this element of divisiveness within our being, can be dealt with.
Amen.
But on the other hand, there are times where we need to be so absolute, so bold in standing for the truth. And we'll see even in dealing with these matters, but because we tend to be nice, we don't want to offend others, we may go along and accept a situation that really needs to be dealt with and shouldn't be accepted or received. Also for this, we need our natural man, our natural being to be dealt with. Through the operation of the cross, cling to the crucified Christ so that we can express him in his body in oneness.
Amen.
So the title of this message 62 is Quarantine, Not Excommunication. And so there are many, situations that may arise in the church life that can, cause an issue or a problem. And we know this from our own experience here in the German-speaking countries in Dachregion. Praise the Lord, we have saints from everywhere.
Amen.
different cultures, different backgrounds, and praise the Lord, more and more. There are those being gained and coming into the church life, even believers, right? Also with backgrounds and a history. But because of these differences, problems can arise. And these problems, we'll see in this outline how these problems are dealt with, but only in a minor percentage, a small percentage of these issues, of these problems, is there a need for quarantine? Is there a need for quarantine? And
Amen.
we had this in the last message, the first cases of division. Anything that would cause division cannot be accepted and must be dealt with. Why? Because division damages the body of Christ. The second category is heresy. And why is this? Why can things related to heresy not be accepted? Why? Because they directly insult the person of Christ
Right, amen.
and they damage his work.
Right.
And in the last session, it was shared. It affects our relationship, our personal relationship with the triune God.
Amen.
So heresy cannot be accepted. And then the third category is gross sins. especially fornication. Why? Because it damages our God-created human body. And we were meant to be members of Christ, expressing Christ, but in a situation with fornication and gross sin, that expression is greatly hindered. So Roman numeral one, to excommunicate someone is to give him up, but to remove a person is to quarantine him with the hope that he will become sound.
Amen.
To cut people off, to excommunicate people, was the practice of the brethren. From the beginning of the Lord's recovery, we realized that this was wrong. So with excommunication, there's no way back. You know, excommunication means we're done. We don't want to have anything to do with you anymore.
Right.
But we realize this way is wrong. And this is not according to God's heart. And
Amen.
it's a not according to the revelation in his word. We'll see, especially in the case in 1 Corinthians 5 and then later in 2 Corinthians 2. And also, you know, how the leper was dealt with in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. God's heart is that there would be recovery and restoration. That after repenting, there would be a way back into the fellowship to enjoy the fellowship of life in the body of Christ. But with quarantine, there is a setting aside. There is a turning away so that the germs would not spread, so that others would not be affected, and so that the Lord's testimony can be preserved. But
Amen.
there's always the hope, and there's always a heart of love that this one could return and be restored to the fellowship.
Amen.
That's the difference between excommunication and quarantine. Today, we should carry out what is termed in medicine a quarantine. If one member of a family contracts a contagious disease, the whole family may need to quarantine him. This is for the benefit of all the members of the family. C. The apostle charged the church in Corinth to remove the sinning one from the fellowship among the believers. Right? This one in 1 Corinthians 5, we read the verses, was engaged in gross sin. And Paul, in oneness with the Lord, exhorted that this one would be removed from the fellowship. And this word remove is very interesting. He says they're remove. And he picks this word up from the Septuagint. From the Septuagint. So the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And in Leviticus and Numbers, when it's talking about how to deal with leprosy, that word removed in that passage is the same word that Paul picks up when he says that this sinful brother needs to be removed from the fellowship. So the whole picture here, what's in Paul's mind when he's addressing the situation, is the matter of leprosy. Leprosy is highly contagious. If leprosy is not dealt with, it will spread and damage the entirety of the congregation. So we have to be very strong in handling leprous situations.
Right.
In Leviticus and Numbers, God charged the Israelites to remove a leper from their fellowship so that the leper might be healed. After he was healed, such a one was to be brought right back into the fellowship. Back into the fellowship. The dealing here with a leper was a quarantining. And we know also, for example, in Numbers 12, Miriam, you know, due to her rebellion, she became leprous and she was put outside of the camp for 7 days.
Right.
You know, this hindered the Lord's advancing. But eventually she could return, right? She returned, was restored to the fellowship, and the Lord's move could advance.
Amen.
3. This, not excommunication, is what is meant in 1 Corinthians 5:13 by the removal of one who is living in gross sin. Read, if you have the chance, read Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 again. And me personally, when I went through it in a very brief way, I was just impressed with the provision for restoring someone who was touched with leprosy. It's a serious matter, but you see that the care, it's a matter of love. There is caring, deep concern. Yes, the situation, the person has to be dealt with, but in the Lord's broad heart and his desire that all would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth and restored, you see, there's a loving way to deal with such a situation. 4. Later, when the sinful brother repented, the apostle charged the church to forgive him by confirming their love to him, that they might not be taken advantage of by Satan, because the apostle was knowledgeable of Satan's schemes. 5. Once a sinning brother has repented, the church should immediately forgive him and show its confirmed love to him. Otherwise, Satan will come in to take advantage of the church in order to devour the fallen and repentant believer. 6. This is the proper way to deal with such a case, a way that takes care of the purity of the church, right? He was removed. This takes care of the purity of the church, or else a little leaven could leaven the whole lump. It also takes care of the discipline of an unrepentant believer. And through this discipline, what this yields a fruit of repentance. 3, the necessary and urgent forgiveness and confirmed love to a repentant believer. And it also deals with the schemes of Satan.
Amen.
We may ex experience this. Someone goes away for a time. I don't know if this is necessarily a situation that was due to quarantine, but in principle, others may return, and then we have some sort of feeling in our being. And we might say something like, "Oh, it's been such a long time, since I've seen you." Even that, hidden in those nice words of greeting, is a kind of judgmental and actually non-receiving spirit. So even in this, in receiving the repenting one, the one being restored to the fellowship, it says here, immediately forgive them. In this matter, we also need to be dealt with, to receive as the Lord receives. Otherwise, wouldn't it be terrible if the Lord is operating to restore such a one? By the Lord's mercy, such a one was led to repentance. But then we, because of our situation, wouldn't receive such a one, and then this one would be devoured by Satan.
Amen.
May we have such a loving heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
6. This is a proper way to deal with such a case, a way that takes care of one. Oh, I read this. Okay. Roman numeral 2. We need to see the tests of the oneness of the body and of the one accord in the church that required quarantine in the New Testament. Okay. So, A, there are 51 cases in the New Testament from Acts to Revelation in which the genuine oneness of the body and the one accord in the church were tested. It's very interesting here. Brother Lee and his ministry refers to all of these situations that began to arise as tests. Tests to the oneness and the one accord. So we know in Acts 2, hallelujah, the oneness was there, the oneness was accomplished. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out and the body of Christ was formed, and the oneness was there, the oneness was accomplished. But as early as Acts chapter 6, these tests began to arise. And so we'll see more concerning this. B, the majority of these cases are of different kinds and were taken care of positively, okay? Positively by various adequate ways, such as the proper arrangement of the service in Acts 6, 1 through 6. You remember in this situation, there were the Hellenists. These were the Greek-speaking Jews, and there were the Hebrew-speaking Jews. And in the daily dispensing for food, the widows of the Hellenists were overlooked. So this was a problem. But how was it dealt with? There was a proper arrangement that was brought in.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This was a mistake. It caused trouble, but through a proper arrangement,
Amen.
it was addressed, right? So no need to be bothered too much. Okay, testifying according to the truth in Acts 11, 1 through 18. You remember here, Peter, in the previous chapter, went to the house of Cornelius. And praise the Lord, the Gentiles also were baptized to be part of the body of Christ, the one body. But later, I think he's back in Jerusalem or with some of the Jewish believers, and like, oh my goodness, you went in to eat with the Gentiles? They were ignorant of the truth.
Right.
So this was also a problem, but it was addressed how? By testifying according to the truth. Okay, and recovering in a spirit of meekness a brother overtaken in an offense in Galatians 6:1, leaving only 16, the minority, to be taken care of in the way of quarantine. So of these 51 cases, only 16 needed to be taken care of in the way of quarantine. Okay, so let's see what these cases are. C. There are two cases of division that are to be dealt with in the way of quarantine. Concerning the first case of division, the case of those who make divisions and causes of stumbling contrary to the apostles' teaching, deceiving people by smooth words and flattering speech, the apostle Paul decisively and emphatically gives us a strong charge that we should carry out a quarantine by what? By turning away from the divisive persons. Two, concerning the second case of division, the case of a factious sectarian man, the Apostle Paul also charges us strongly and decisively. Brothers, there are times where we have to be with the Lord in oneness, to be strong and decisive, right? To exercise a stern quarantine by refusing the factious and divisive person. And I think for our own experience, dear saints, especially this matter of smooth words and flattering speech, we may have experienced this some. Some may come in with smooth words, flattering speech, and that's the surface, but underneath
Right.
those smooth words and flattering speech is a seed of division,
Amen.
right? So we have to exercise not even to listen, not even to receive like divisive speakings, or else we ourselves could be affected. D. There are 13 cases of heresy that should be dealt with in the way of quarantine. Okay, one. The case of the heretical teaching concerning circumcision as a requirement for salvation, this case was taken care of by the proper fellowship according to the truth. Right? You remember this? Paul and Barnabas and certain others went up to the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. There was this teaching going around. Some came, right? That was the source. Some came from Jerusalem teaching circumcision as a condition of salvation. And how was this addressed? Paul and Barnabas and others went up to the source of the problem and just had more fellowship. So this problem was addressed. The case of some believers in Corinth saying that there is no resurrection of the dead, this case was taken care of by teaching. The case of some Jewish believers troubling the Galatian believers and desiring to pervert the gospel of Christ with a different gospel. This is the Judaic observances of the law This case was dealt with by even cursing the heretics. Okay, that's strong. The case of some four, departing from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and teachings of demons, and the hypocrisy of men who speak lies. This case was taken care of by teaching. Five, the case of the profane vain babbling being spread like gangrene. So these profane, these speakings, these divisive speakings are like gangrene. You know what gangrene is? That's the death of the body tissue. It's dead. If there's not enough circulation, or if there's a bacteria that's highly infectious, this leads to death of tissue. And these speakings are likened to gangrene. Very serious. Spread like gangrene by the party of Hymenaeus and Philetus, who misaimed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection had already taken place and overthrew the faith of some. This case was taken care of by what? By warning the saints. Lord Jesus, it's better not to listen to vain babblings, divisive speakings, criticisms.
Amen.
Oh, we don't have to, be holier than thou and just come and judge a person or something like that, a brother or a sister. But we don't lend our ear to these kind of things because it will affect us and it will bring in death and the germ will spread.
Right.
If someone sends an email with negative materials, please don't send me the email. If someone's being negative, we can exercise in a spirit of meekness and gentleness to turn to the fellowship of Christ, turn to the enjoyment of Christ. Brothers, isn't this why we're here? We're here taking the way of enjoying Christ as the tree of life,
Amen.
enjoying the crucified and resurrected Christ.
Amen.
We're not here for any of these other things.
Right.
Number six, the case of the false teachers among the believers, teachers who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, whose licentiousness will be followed by many, because of whom the way of truth will be reviled. This case was also taken care of by warning the saints. Seven, the case of the mockers mocking according to their own lust, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" This case also was taken care of by warning the saints. I've experienced this also, maybe not in such a strong way, like a mocking way, but even the speaking, "Oh, the Lord, you say the Lord is coming back. I don't know. He's not coming back soon. We have so much time." Even giving heed to a speaking like this causes you to become warm, maybe to turn to the world. You want to enjoy the world. Why? Oh, there's time. There's time. May we not give heed to these kind of speakings. Even at the time of the apostles, they lived in such a way as if the Lord could return any moment,
That's right.
eagerly,
Amen.
actively awaiting the Lord's return.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The case of many antichrists have come, an antichrist being one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This case was taken care of by teaching. Nine, the case of the spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This case was taken care of by teaching. 10. The case of many deceivers as antichrists having gone out into the world who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but go beyond and do not abide in the teaching of Christ. This case was dealt with by the exercising of a quarantine. 11. The case of those who have gone in the way of Cain and have rushed out in the error of Balaam for reward and have perished in the rebellion of Korah, going on according to their lusts, their mouth speaking great swelling things, flattering persons for the sake of advantage. This case was taken care of by warning the saints.
Amen.
We have to be so one with the Lord, with the sense of life, within. When someone's speaking, even if there's flattering speech, nice words, inwardly the spirit knows this is something of death. This is something of division. 12. The case of some in Pergamos holding the teaching of Balaam, who caused the sons of Israel to stumble in eating idol sacrifices and committing fornication. This case was dealt with by condemnation. 13. The case of the church in Thyatira tolerating the woman Jezebel, who taught and led the Lord's slaves astray to commit fornication and to eat idol sacrifices. This case also was dealt with by condemnation. Okay, now E, letter E. There was one case of gross sin that was dealt with in the way of quarantine. The case of a Corinthian brother who lived in gross sin and would not repent. But praise the Lord, through the proper dealing with this situation later, this brother repented. Amen.
Amen.
And Roman numeral 3. Among all the tests of the oneness of the body and of the one accord of the church, only three: divisions, heresies, and fornication are intolerable and need a quarantine by the churches and the saints, according to the apostles' teaching. Divisions damage the body of Christ, according to Romans 16, 17, and Titus 3, 10. We need to exercise to quarantine the divisive ones. Heresies insult the person of Christ and also damage the work of Christ. We need to quarantine the heretical ones, those who go beyond the teaching concerning Christ. Fornication is a gross sin that damages the humanity made by God to be the members of the body of Christ. According to 1 Corinthians 5, 2 and 11 through 13, we need to quarantine the fornicators who live in such a gross sin by removing them from the fellowship of the church. D, if these three things are taking place in the church, the body of Christ will be what? Annulled. That's serious. The body of Christ will be annulled.
Amen.
The very Christ will be altogether damaged, and the humanity used as the constituents of the body of Christ will be fully corrupted. Therefore, these three problems cannot be tolerated, and we should exercise to quarantine those who are involved in these problems in order to what? To preserve the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Isn't this why we are here in the Lord's recovery? Isn't this why the Lord has a recovery? Right? For the building up of the body of Christ. And this matter of the leprosy is so serious. If you read in Leviticus 14, towards the end of that chapter, you'll see there's something referred to as the leprosy in the house. The leprosy in the house. And if the house has a leprosy, there is a procedure to deal with it, but the situation could be so bad, so infectious that the house had to be torn down. And the materials taken to an unclean place. And so in the footnote there, it speaks of a situation becoming so bad that the church has to be terminated. Those aren't my words. The church itself has to be terminated. What a loss for the body of Christ. What a loss for the expression of the body of Christ. This is why we have to be so serious. And so one with the Lord in handling these matters. And maybe, we hear of these big cases, turmoils and things like that, where quarantine is exercised. But, even in our local church situation, we have to be on guard to preserve and to protect the flock. I have one experience. I was in a church, and we were practicing to be very general, and some believers came in, wanted to fellowship together, but it turned out that they wanted to go to the new ones, go to the students, and recruit them, bring in kind of a divisive element and divide the flock. Praise the Lord, none of the students responded to that, but these situations arrive, and we have to deal with them in a proper way. There was another case that was more recent for us. A saint got thoroughly poisoned, thoroughly poisoned. A dear, lovely saint, and even began to contact others to give them poisonous materials. Praise the Lord. The sister who was contacted said, "No, don't send me these materials." But if such a situation persists and the saint would have remained, would have need to be dealt with in a proper way to preserve the flock. Preserve the body for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Vincent.
Amen. Thank you. Well, Cody, I'd like to echo the brothers. We're starting this new section on dealing with problems in the eldership and in the church. And when I was assigned to this lesson, especially this lesson 62, that has a very peculiar topic, quarantine, not excommunication. I can testify, praise the Lord, whenever we open the ministry, there's life, amen, there's food. And I've really been nourished and helped by going through this outline and considering the burden of this outline.
Hey.
Before I forget, I feel this is also a good time to recommend a book. This is this book called The Speciality, the Generality, and the Practicality of the Church Life. I don't know if you can see it, but probably many. Anyway, you know which book I mean. Probably many of you have read it. And if not, Brother Minoru, when he shared this lesson, he said, this is a must read. And not only is it a must read, he also said that we need consistent reminders. That means we really have to always come back to this book. This is a great help for the practice of the church life, so that we can be kept in the church life, and so that the testimony of the church can also be kept. And Brother Minoru said that when he released his lessons, this was about the time when Brother Benson passed away. Actually, Brother Minoru used one of those sessions as a special fellowship to remember our brother. But he said, Brother Minoru said, that this book was Brother Benson's favorite book. This book about the speciality and the generality and the practicality of the church life. Now, we did check during the break. We didn't see that it's been translated into German. So maybe, Brother Tassilo, this is one book that you need to prioritize in the matter of translation. Amen. So, concerning the burden, Brother Minoru said that lesson 61 and lesson 62 are two sisters' lesson. They really go together. And considering this, I feel the burden of these two lessons is the same. But it's the same being approached from two different angles. And we could maybe summarize that in lesson 61, we have to be in Romans 14. As was shared, Paul shows here to be a person who is broad, having a broad heart, liberal, able to receive all kinds of believers for the practice of the body life. This is Romans 14. Then, lesson 62, we have to be in Romans 16, especially this verse where Paul is very strong. He says, now I exhort you, brothers. And remember, this verse comes immediately after a number of verses Paul speaks of greetings. Greet this one, greet that one. And then 17, he turns and says, now I exhort you, brothers. And he says, mark those who make divisions and causes of stumbling, contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and turn away from them. Very strong. So this is lesson 62. And in general, I feel, and I think Cody mentioned that also already, in our experience, many times when we need to be in Romans 14, we have the spirit and the attitude of Romans 16. And on the other hand, many times where we should have the attitude and even the practice of Romans 16, we tend to be in Romans 14. The key to both situations, and this was also alluded to, is that as long as we are in our natural man, we will be either too large when we should be strict, or we are too strict when we need to be broad. This is really the case. I'd like to just read you a footnote from Romans 14. This is footnote 3, 1-2 from chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, 1. It says at the end, such receiving the believers requires the transformation mentioned in chapter 12. If we remain natural, this is the point. If we remain natural, we will be unable to receive those whose views are different from ours in doctrine or in practice. Our need, brothers, is transformation. Yes, we need to learn lessons, but naturally we're all narrow. We receive those that we shouldn't, and we don't receive those that we should. And I think many can relate to these experiences. And personally, maybe just share a little bit. I feel especially we need to learn how to receive believers that may not be reading the ministry or appreciating the ministry as much as we do. I personally had this experience that my parents met with us for a number of years. And we have a brethren background. And anyway, they came to meet with us. And it was a real test for us, especially for me. And I have to confess, I failed, because I was surely bothered having to realize that my father didn't appreciate the ministry that much. And my mother didn't read the ministry at all. And it created some negative feelings that were in a spirit of not divisive, but at least there was not the same love and concern that I should have had, although they did not appreciate the ministry. So the Lord really brings in people into the church life, I believe, that will help us to learn this lesson, and that will help us to be dealt with, and so that the Lord can really transform us. The Lord is really sovereign, and Cody shared, there's so many different cultures, backgrounds that are coming together here in Europe in the church life. How can we receive all the believers? All kinds of believers, to receive them as God has received them. The only way for us is to be transformed from our natural being so that we can have this broad heart. But then also, now in lesson 62, we need to learn to be firm, to stand for the truth, not to compromise. And Brother Minoru said that in his experience, he has seen a number of saints that after a person had been put into quarantine, because of their natural affection towards them, because of their natural relationship towards them, they couldn't take that. And they thought, well, maybe I don't need to be so strict. Maybe I can lend my ear. Maybe I can find a way to reconcile. But his testimony was that they all were poisoned with the same disease. So this is serious, that if a person has been quarantined, put into quarantine, there is a need of separation. And we saw that in Leviticus. It said he has to live alone. His dwelling had to be outside the camp. I think this allows the Lord to deal with that person. If there is not a clear separation, of course, it's also to protect the saints. But there is a real significance that there needs to be a separation, a taking away of this person from the fellowship among God's people. So even in being strict like that, we realize we have to be transformed, that we could not have natural affections and natural relationship come in, and we would ourselves be damaged by a person who is in quarantine. Maybe as a side note, interesting, Cody made it clear the difference between quarantine and excommunication, that in the way the brethren practice this, their view was really to give up a person. Well, brothers, I'm sharing with you as a brother who has been given up. I've been excommunicated from the brethren when I came into the church life. And the Lord was really sovereign, because it was a great help for me to realize there is no way back. Amen. They really gave me up, and I had no way to come back. Anyway, this is a sidebar, but the Lord uses all kinds of things to keep us and to bring us into the church life. But I appreciate Brother Lee's careful approach. You could really sense in this lesson that Brother Lee's heart was always to try to recover a person. His heart was not to get rid of that person, but always having the view that this is something temporarily, that with the hope, the prayers, that such a person can be recovered. And this is clearly seen in Leviticus. In Leviticus 13, you have all these things that they needed to be done if a leper was found, that they found out that a person had leprosy. But there is a whole chapter 14 with the title, The Healing of the Leper. So this should be the view that although this might be needed to put someone in quarantine, the view should always be the way, give them person a way to be recovered. Amen. When Brother Lee released these 51 cases, this was in 1989. It's in the book, The Elders Training, book 10, chapter 5. And probably we know 89 was one of the greatest rebellion turmoils that happened in the Lord's recovery. And so Brother Lee was speaking in this context. And I'm really impressed how he went into the New Testament to consider this matter. And he found out these 51 cases. And he realized these problems, and I appreciate that, are actually tests. You know, when I see a problem, I just like to solve the problem. Or maybe I'm afraid to touch the problem. But Brother Lee's views is these are tests of the oneness of the body and of the one accord in the church. And then he realized, oh, there were many tests in the New Testament. And he says for years he had this concept that the churches in the early ages, in the early days, must have been wonderful. But then he says, after studying these cases, he realized they may not have been so wonderful. And he even says maybe their condition was not much better than ours today. But he saw that these cases were tests. And this should be our view, brothers. We're facing situations, we're facing problems, but we need to have the proper view when we're dealing with these problems. It's not to get rid of the problem. It's not just to find a solution. It is tests of the oneness of the body and the one accord in the churches. And this is also something the brothers mentioned already. Brothers, the goal of the Lord's recovery. Why are we here? It is to recover the oneness. This is the main point that needs to be recovered in order for God to really carry out his economy. So we need to treasure this oneness. We need to uplift the oneness. And we need to see all these situations that we have as tests for us, through which we can learn to keep, to preserve that oneness of the body. This is really, it has been a great help. We need to see these are tests for us, and we need to learn how to deal with them. And then I'd like to read you some quotes from this lesson. So remember, Cody gave us that overview. Brother Lee found 51 tests. And he makes really a point that the great majority, 35 of them, were taken care in a positive way, with various adequate ways. Like Act 6, Cody mentioned, the problem there with the tables, the Hellenists, they made some practical arrangement. It was a test of the oneness, but the brothers took care of that test in a positive way so that the oneness could be kept, could be maintained, the church life could be preserved. So he emphasizes that there is the majority of these cases were all taken care in a positive way. Then in a minority, 16 of them, there was the need of quarantine, 13 cases of heresies, 2 cases of division, and 1 case of fornication. Now listen what he says. This is the next paragraph. He says, this indicates that according to his loving concern, the Lord's loving concern, over his dear redeemed saints, the Lord's intention concerning all the believers who are involved in the test of the oneness of the body and of the one accord in the church is to adjust, correct, rescue, recover, and perfect them so that he can carry out the building up of his organic body. This is page 382. This is the Lord's view, giving us these tests is for us to be adjusted, corrected, rescued, recovered, and perfected so that he, the Lord, can carry out the building up of his organic body. I feel this is the main burden, and this is what we need to see in those two lessons, especially when we have to deal with these problems. The Lord is after carrying out the building up of his body. And this is why he allows even this situation to happen, for our perfecting, amen, for our correcting, for our adjusting. So in a sense, we need these situations, but we need to be equipped. We need to learn how to deal with this situation, especially as brothers bearing the responsibility in the churches. Maybe a few words concerning those three cases that need quarantine, division. I think the brothers mentioned that already a little bit. I just like to emphasize. Brothers, division is very, very serious. Brother Minoru said, it is serious to touch the oneness of the body. And yes, maybe we have in our background, in our mind, you know, the big cases, like Cody was mentioning, where someone has to be put into quarantine and this and that. Well, these things happen, and they happen again and again. But brothers, it starts really in a very local, in a local area in our church. How easy it is that this oneness is damaged. And this is where we have to have a view of why we're here. We are here so that the Lord can carry out the building up of the body. And the one requirement for this is the oneness. So division damages the body of Christ. If the body is divided, we lose everything. And we know this here in Europe. What happened in 89, it annulled, it damaged, it wiped away the expression of the body here in Europe for many, many, many years. And up to today, we're still seeing the consequences of this. So, brothers, it is serious, amen, to touch the oneness of the body. Second, heresies. Heresies really assault, attack the person of Christ. And today, there's so many things that are being said, especially those who deny that Christ came in the flesh, the incarnation of Christ, God manifested in the flesh. And these are heresies that we cannot tolerate because it will attack the person and the work of Christ. And then lastly, this third case is fornication or gross sins, which damages the humanity made by God to be members of the body of Christ. And we have to realize, brothers, I mean, especially with this matter of fornication, we're living in an age that this is accepted. And of course, we go out, we preach the gospel, and we find all kinds of people in all kinds of condition. So we really need the Lord to help us, to be with us, to deal with us, so that we can deal with these situations to preserve the humanity of the members of the body of Christ, and that the Lord could really gain a proper expression through our humanity, through the humanity of the saints. And then he says, Brother Lee, if these three things are taking place in the church, the body of Christ would be altogether damaged, and the humanity used as the constituents of the body of Christ would be fully corrupted. Therefore, these three problems cannot be tolerated, and we should exercise to quarantine those who are involved in these problems in order to preserve the body of Christ. Amen. So then he says, for our learning, I hope that we will spend time to learn the proper way to face each kind of problem. We all must be impressed that among so many kinds of problems, only three are intolerable. Here again, you sense how Brother Lee emphasizes this matter, that quarantine is necessary, but only in three of these cases that are being mentioned. You just sense his heart again of not using this matter of quarantine in a light way, but taking it really as a last resort to protect the saints and to keep the oneness of the body. And then he says, even with those involved in the three intolerable sins, we must be careful to deal with them in our spirit and by the spirit. We should be careful to carry out a quarantine over them to restrict the spreading of the contagious diseases. And this is really the view that we need to have. One point Brother Minora mentioned is that we have to realize that this is very contagious. A person who is in quarantine is very contagious. I think we understand a bit more, having gone through COVID, that this is really what happens. If you don't take care of a person who has this disease, it is very likely that many will be having the same disease because it is so contagious. But then we also have to realize when we quarantine a person, this is not to hate the person. And this is what is difficult. You know, this is something very severe. This is very severe to put a quarantine over a person. But the Lord has to gain us to realize this is not about having negative feeling towards that person. Not at all. But for the sake of the Lord's testimony, we have to take this action and to protect the saints from this disease. Amen. I finish with this last sentence also on this page, same page. Concerning all the others, we must exercise our long suffering with love in hope of recovering them. This is really his heart. And so may the Lord, gain us in dealing with these problems. Problems that the Lord sovereignly allows to test us, to equip us, to transform us, so that he can really gain a proper testimony where all the believers, no matter their background and doctrines and practice, are received, but at the same time, where the oneness and the person of Christ and the humanity of the members of the body of Christ is preserved. May the Lord do it with us, among us, for his glory and for his testimony here in Europe. So I'll give back to the brothers.
Amen. Brothers, for this word, I would say we should have some prayer. How about us pray by ourselves? You are sitting at a computer or with the brother sitting nearby with us. Let's pray for 1 minute and we'll continue with overflow. Praise the Lord. Brothers, I think I'm like you. That's after being serving with other brothers together, from time to time, I encounter things that I didn't sign up for. I only signed up for having the dumplings. But later on, I realized that I need the garlic to kill the germs. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hey. We have the brothers that's standing with us together. And we have experienced brothers in the nearby churches. And we have co-working brothers that cover us. And I always believe this test is like a First Peter. There shows us these tests, these trials, they are precious because it's just like a gold. When the gold passes through the fire, it will make it pure. It will remove the impurities. And brothers, we are here for the purity of his recovery. We are here for the oneness of the body. We are not here to let others to like us, but we are here to stand faithfully to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let's open for the overflow. Brothers, we would say without your sharing, this message is not complete. Amen. Amen. Christian in München. Amen.
I really, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I enjoyed what Cody was sharing and Vincent both, is if we have responsibility in the churches, then we cannot afford to bear that responsibility according to our own disposition or our own
Amen.
personality. And I think by disposition, most of us would prefer not to say anything hard to the saints. We would rather just feed the saints and shepherd the saints and be optimistic. But thank the Lord that in the pattern of Brother Lee, he passed through many, many decades of history where he experienced many, many, many problems. And so we don't have to go through that. We can just inherit his experience and understand that in the church life, we will be facing all kinds of attempts by the enemy to damage the oneness. And if we are going to do our duty as brothers, we have to be trained and we have to be faithful to respond to these attacks in a proper way that matches the scripture. So the ministry opens up these 51 cases and the other thing we have is, brothers, we have each other. And that's
Amen.
what Isaiah just mentioned. We have the body, we have the coworkers, we have the brothers who have also passed through things like this. I just need a lot of practical fellowship because this isn't the time for that. But, I look forward maybe to these iteros because I just don't. It's very hard sometimes to know, like, at what point does an unhappy saint, like it's not a crime to be unhappy. We're all unhappy sometimes. But at what point does that dear brother reach a point where his expression of that becomes a threat to the oneness in the church? These are really hard things to discern. And, how do we have the conversation? I would like to hear about some failures and successes with regard to quarantine. It seems like a major step to warn the saints about a person. That's a big step to take. I have not been involved in that very much, but anyways, the main thing I appreciate is I'm really happy that we're having this fellowship. We can't be optimists. Neither can we be alarmists and see a factious brother everywhere. That's not true. But we need to be balanced and have our eyes open so that we can bear this responsibility according to the pattern that we have. So I don't know how to end. I'm just glad we're having this fellowship.
Yeah, brothers,
Amen.
I just feel like this fellowship is so healthy. I would use that word, healthy, because I think is in line with the Timothys, it's life-giving in a sense, but it's also a protection. And it's just so very healthy to see the view, the divine view regarding these things. And also on the other hand, just not only to see the divine view, but like was emphasized, to realize that we need to grow in life. We need to be transformed. It's not a matter of outwardly saying, this is wrong, this is right. But as was emphasized, we need to be on the cross. We need to take the cross and be in our spirit regarding these things. This is where the discernment comes from. And it's just so very crucial because, you know, in these days, there's a lot of fellowship about gaining the local Europeans, gaining the local German, Swiss, and Austrians. So on the one hand, you know, we just wonder, maybe we're not letting things in that should be coming in. But on the other hand, there's a lot of concern as well about the continuation of the Lord's recovery and maintaining the nature of the Lord's recovery. So just like the hymn we sang, the last verse, it says, all the features of the New Jerusalem should be in it. One main feature is the gates. And so this lesson really shows from this perspective that when we have the proper growth in life and are in our spirit with the fellowship of the brothers, we can function properly as the gates. Things that should come in, then we'll be able to come in. And things that we should shut the gates towards, things that should not come in, then we are clear and we do not allow them to come in.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Die Gemeinde in Berlin.
Yeah, as those who are learning how to take responsibility in the church, one very crucial matter is the church meets on the ground of oneness. And oneness is the starting point, and oneness is the end point. In Ephesians 4, diligent to keep the oneness until we all arrive at the oneness. And so oneness is the building, oneness being the building. This helped to see this from Brother Lee. And so we need the oneness, which will be tested when it comes to how general we are. General we are with others. And it will also be tested when it comes to what is affecting this, what is coming in to nullify or to try to damage the oneness. And so we need to be crystal clear what we are doing as those in the local church meeting in this way on this ground. And I just appreciate we have a lot of learning in the books available to us. And we you know, just the fact that we know this matter of generality is a wonderful thing. And at the same time, the oneness and the building being tested again and again is seen within the New Testament, and it's experienced within the church. And so how we respond in situations, I just am so thankful we can have this kind of fellowship. And it's in the books, and it's also part of our history, and there's experience within the body. And so underlying all this is, how are we meeting on the proper ground?
Amen.
Sorry, if we're not clear about generality, we may be a local sect. We may not be actually standing on as a local church, you know, as the ones who are meeting in the proper way on the ground of oneness. So at the same time, yeah, how can we preserve the nature? How can we make sure nothing divisive ever comes in to affect the church? Amen. So these are wonderful lessons, and I'm so thankful we could have this fellowship.
Amen. Can the serving brothers let's play a song that's to remind us after 1 minute? Thank you. We were open for two more fellowship. Amen. The Stuttgart brothers.
Hi, brothers. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm also very thankful for this fellowship. We really need this fellowship. And the brothers mentioned that sometimes, you know, when we should be in Romans 14, sometimes we're in Romans 16. And we might be too strict with things we shouldn't, or be looking out for who's factious. So we really need to pray that the Lord would grant us a broad heart, and not have a divisive spirit ourselves. But I was also impressed with the matter of taking care of the Lord's interests. And sometimes we're in Romans 14 when we should be in Romans 16. And the brothers mentioned that the Lord, and the lesson mentions that the Lord sends problems sovereignly, or tests. And that really tests our oneness, our one accord. And like Brother Cody mentioned, you know, sometimes it's difficult with poison, with negative speaking among students. And I think we are afraid of not overstepping. And we've had some situations here in Stuttgart, and that's caused us really to fellowship a lot, to pray a lot about each one of these situations, how to go about it. Should we speak to this brother? Who should speak? How? When? A lot of fellowship and prayer. And so, yeah, may the Lord keep training us, leading us how to be faithful to Him in not overstepping, but at the same time, take care of situations that are serious and can damage the oneness, which is the main thing in the body.
Amen. Die Gemeinde in Hamburg.
Amen. Yeah, I kind of similarize what Brother Luis just shared, that there's a time we need to be bold, but we are too strict. Like, there's time we need to be serious, need to be strict, but we are becoming too slow, too general. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the recovery going through all different turmoil. So it's actually, we become more healthier and purified. And especially, for example, if someone is quarantined, but because our nature of affection, we sometimes say, how come this brother is quarantined, and we come sympathize, and it's quite easy to become contagious too. So we need to have the Lord's mercy and to have a clear seeing, and don't our nature affection with someone who's quarantined, because it's for the healthy of the whole body. Amen. But I think the most important thing is that when we say something, see something, we can always fellowship with someone who is more mature with us. Amen. This will protect us and protect the body. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. We have four announcements, brief announcements. The first is to remind you the book that recommended by Brother Vincent is the Spirituality, Generality, and Practicality of the Church Life. We'll put that in the announcement in the admins group. We hope the brothers as administrators in that group can forward that to the brothers in your locality. And the second and third are about two trainings. The one is the coming, this semi-annual training in summer. So since the live training registration the deadline has passed, so we will encourage all the brothers, even the local saints, to sign up for the video training when the registration is open. And then the third, the next training is regarding the September ITERO in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. I believe all the brothers here should already have received the invitation in the past couple of days. We also see the fee this time is higher than the previous, and yet we say that we should pray first for this gathering, especially this special event in Europe, and even if possible, that's to book the lodging, the accommodation as soon as possible, so we can save some cost and encourage one another to go. And the last is regarding the next brothers training in June. Due to the Bible seminar in Bern, that's on the Saturday, so we will announce the date of the next brothers training later. Yeah. Thank you, brothers. We're dismissed here.
Amen.
Amen.